Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's going off now.
Welcome to Highway Diaries. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, as a guest, James Colin Brusick.
Hey, what's up?
Well, it's a little early for him. You know, he's a partier. He's a ladies' man. He's out there, a socialite, moving and shaking, looking, you know.
Yeah, actually, I was just watching Netflix last night. Pretty late. Kind of hard to fall asleep when you have a new Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a filmmaker, you need to be current on all that stuff, right?
Yeah. When
there's a zeitgeist getting out, everyone's like, ooh, I'm binge-watching the new Arrested Development on Netflix. You're like, I am too.
Yeah, I remember when somebody finally convinced me to check out Breaking Bad, and I watched every episode within 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta love Netflix.
It's unbelievable.
I know, it's like crack.
Yeah, and then your problems go away. That whatever you like were frustrated about in your life when you went into that marathon's gone now because, you know what, it's overdue anyway.
And also, like, the new frustration comes in of, well, what am I going to watch now that the marathon's over?
Right. Yeah. Now you got to find a new show. I'm binge watching.
Yeah.
Like a doctor. You are a prodigy, young filmmaker, indie filmmaker, very young. You have an incredible catalog of shit to buy on Amazon. Treasure Chest of Horrors, Treasure Chest of Horrors 2, Theater of Deranged, My Pure Joy, The Curse of Blanchard Hill, and then on Kindle, you got The Scrapbook of My Mind, The Screenplay of My Pure Joy, you got To Come, Hate Crime's coming out, Muse is coming out, Reanimated Roadkill. I'm just listing things.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. How have you assembled all this shit?
I have no clue. I just wanted to make movies and, you know, started making them and stuff, I guess. It's not really that descriptive. Worked really hard and kept pushing forward, and whatever budget I could raise, I would make something.
What was your business plan? How did you know, like, okay, I'll make this one and then I'll get it a DVD sales here? Like, well, you know what I mean? A lot of people are very afraid just to make that phone call, like to get on the phone with an agent or someone who can tell them no.
Well, my first movie, I had just gotten out of high school and I had written this screenplay called My Pure Joy. And I basically was like, all right, I was in college. And I was in college for a week, and I was like, I hate it here. And so, like, I wanted to get somebody to help fund this movie. And so I was like, if I could get this movie funded, it's a sign that I'm not supposed to go to film school. And I really didn't want to go to film school. And so, lo and behold, like, within a week of being in school, I got it funded by my now business partner, Jarrett Cohen. And because of that, I just dropped out of school. And then after that one, we sold it because we got a whole bunch of good press because apparently people like when young people do things.
Right.
And then after that, he funded Hate Crime. And then after the success of Hate Crime and all the awards I was getting on the festival circuit for it, I've gotten a lot of offers to direct other movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
So
you went to like one semester of film school?
I went to 1 week of film school.
1 week, and then you're like, I'm out of here. So what? Yeah. Why didn't you want to go to film school? What was your aversion to it?
Well, I think within the first week, and mind you, I was at like community college. I was going to be transferring to UCLA because when I was in high school, I didn't want to go to regular school either.
Mm-hmm. You've been kind of like over it from the jump.
Yeah, so basically, so I was in community college and we're in like a film class. And we just watch, I think the first day we watch No Country for Old Men. And so the teacher asks the class, like, you know, what do you think of this movie? And so nobody's raising their hand, so I raise my hand and I start talking about the nihilism within the film and the restricted narrator and just really getting in depth into, like, the filmmaking about it. And I could see, like, the teacher was really excited. He's like, oh, this is going to be a great semester.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, all right, does anybody else have something to add? and nobody raises their hand. And then one girl in the back row slowly raises her hand and goes, I liked it. And then everybody's like, oh yeah, I liked it too. I was like, oh God, I shouldn't be in this class.
You got 70,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah, that's...
How did that assemble? Did this all just come from when things started populating on Amazon? Yo, this guy's got a catalog all of a sudden. I'm going to, like, follow this guy.
It came before that, actually.
How did all this press come?
It came before the press, even. I used to throw raves. And so I was a big, like, rave promoter.
This is why you were over high school.
Yes, yes.
How old were you when you were throwing raves?
I was like 15, 16. We threw a party that had like 15,000 people at it. You know, and I was like one of the top like two people in the company throwing the parties. And then we were...
Where were they held? In the valley?
No, like all over. We did one in El Monte at like the sports arena over there. And I was also like booking DJs and stuff. And I did promotions for DJs, so I was hired to do, like, promotions for, like, the Crystal Method, I'm sure you guys have heard of them. And so,
I haven't. I'm not in this scene.
I did
MDMA once, and I danced with glow sticks until I, like, passed out. I was so tired. I've never done that much exercise in, like, my entire life.
Yeah, no, I did MDMA way too many times.
You're over it.
Yeah. But so yeah, no, Crystal Method did that song, like, that's the name of the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I did like promotions for them, and do like doing promotions for a lot of different DJs and also like parties. I kinda learned how to like build my Twitter and get promotional stuff. Uh-huh. And so it was kinda like a natural transition, because my rave company was called My Pure Joy, and so I named my first movie My Pure Joy, which helped it get onto the bestsellers list because all of the ravers thought it was a movie about raving. So I kind of tricked
them. But what was it?
It was a movie about stabbing people in the vagina with knives.
There you go.
Well, not quite about that, but it happens in the movie.
A lot.
A lot, yeah.
That's like the A story versus the B story.
Yeah, that's definitely the A story versus the B story.
What's your fascination with horror? Like, how when you were raving, you were like, dancing, party promoting, but in the back of your mind, you were like, I like horror movies, this is also a passion of mine. It's not so much with the neon Nikes and the neon hats, it's like a different flavor. How did you kind of transition from the raver guy to the horror guy?
When I was, this is an embarrassing comment to respond with, but... When I was raving, I was on drugs, and then when I stopped doing drugs, I was like, oh, I want to make movies again.
Because your levels of serotonin bottomed out, and it took you to a dark place.
It took me to a dark place. No, I always liked horror movies. I grew up on them and stuff, and so I always had plans to make films, but I think there was like a 3-year period of my life where I was just doing drugs and raving where I didn't think about absolutely anything other than that. Not gonna lie.
Right.
But I got it out of my system, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have no interest in doing any of that stuff anymore.
Well, I don't know. I was a pretty good student, I guess. I got solid B's when I was in high school. I didn't do anything all through college. I just drank every now and then. Come out to California, I'm a crazy person. I don't know, that's my personal
story. Yeah, I was born and raised in California.
Yeah, so you were just...
So, I was actually considered tame.
Mm-hmm. I was also raised with Catholicism, which has maybe made me moral in that I felt like there were eyes of Jesus wherever I went, and I was terrified.
I thought you were Jewish.
Everyone thinks I'm Jewish.
You're not Jewish.
I'm not Jewish.
What?
My last name's Hollerbach. It's not Brauchowitz.
I thought it was just like a very unfortunate... last name for a Jew.
No, it's a fortunate name for a German, actually.
I am from
New Jersey, so I probably talk like other people just think, oh, Jersey accent means you're Jewish.
I thought you were Jewish.
Well, there you go. About my last podcast guest was this guy called Chet Wild, who also everyone thinks he's Jewish because he has curly hair. And we were commiserating, and oy vey. Anyway.
I actually am Jewish, at least.
Oh, you're Jewish?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. People think I'm part of the club, and I got this new job out on a reality show. I think that's, like, and the girl who got me it was Jewish, and she goes, oh, I thought you were Jewish, like, after she got me the gig. And I'm like, oh, did I give you some kind of secret Jew handshake or whatever, or a wink or something? And she, I don't know, I just inadvertently gave her, the, you know.
I feel like she wouldn't have hired you if she knew you weren't Jewish.
Exactly. She just took one look at this nose and went, Jew. I love your Facebook post. You have a really funny Facebook post. You go, dear pro-lifers, if embryos are people, ultrasounds are child pornography. That's hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
I always think it's weird. Like, what do you think about kids getting busted when they take out their iPod pad and they're 8 and they take a picture of their own dick and now they're in possession of child pornography? When they fucking took a picture of their own dick?
Oh, I don't know. You know what I mean? I think it's really strange. Because somebody responded to that and said, child pornography, pornography means it has to be, like, sexual. And, like, a picture of that is not sexual. And I was like, so if we just went around taking pictures of naked children.
Yeah, that's just cool.
It's just fine.
If they're just playing with their sandbox.
Yeah, no.
That's just what France is.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I just kind of like playing on the hypocrisies in life, and so that's why I say stuff like that. Okay, when I was like 16, I would have other 16-year-old girls send nude pictures to me and stuff.
Right.
You know, like, oh, like, text me a nude picture. And they were so willing to do it at the time, and now I realize, like, if I still had that phone now,
right,
I'd be in jail.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Also, what's with, you know, if the NSA is downloading everything on your fucking hard drive, then the NSA is also child pornographers, because you're in possession too, motherfucker. Just because you got 3 letters before your fucking title doesn't mean you're not in possession of child porn if you're downloading everything off our computers.
So you have a bunch of child porn on your computer, that's
right. I'm just saying, whoops. No, I'm saying, look, if an 8-year-old kid takes a picture of his own dick, right?
And somehow sends it to you.
No, not send it to me. If he takes a picture of his own dick, and then, you know, that's on an iPad, and we know that the NSA has been, like, downloading all the information off everyone's iPads. That's with the cloud system. It's like, no, don't share your private data here. Share it in the cloud with the NSA, and all, so it's in the soup of, you know. So then if the NSA has a picture of a kid who's taken a picture of his own dick with an iPad, hypothetical scenario, they're in possession as well.
Yeah. No, that is true.
Let's increase it to the fucking death penalty and chop off every fucking head of the NSA. You won the Polygrind Film Festival Best Transgressive Film. Transgression film for hate crime.
And
tell me about Polygrind.
We also won Most Horrifying for that one.
Most Horrifying?
Yeah, Polygrind's a great film festival.
Where does it take place?
It takes place in Las Vegas, which is another reason why it's such a great film festival. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know,
get to party, get to gamble.
Love an excuse to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been going there since I was, like, you know, 15 on a fake ID.
You're over it. You were over high school. I don't need to show up to this. I'm party promoting. Dead Mouse is coming over my house next week, motherfucker. You think I'm going to turn in your bullshit busy work?
Yeah.
I'll transfer to UCLA, motherfucker.
That's what I was like. Save money, too.
How the audience react to hate crime? Because I've seen hate crime.
Oh, God.
It's fucking crazy. It's like a Serbian film. It's like fucking nuts.
My favorite reaction in the audience is I'm sitting in the back row, and this man and this woman are sitting in front of me. And I'm watching them, and like every couple seconds, you know, something happens in the movie that's fucked up. And every time something would happen, the woman would turn to the man and go, like, can we go? And he'd shake his head no. And then, like, it just happened, like, 20 times. And then the rape scene happens. And she goes, can we go? And he goes, yes. And they stand up and leave. And then they come back at the end for my Q&A while I'm telling that exact story that I was just telling you guys. And so I ended up calling them out on it. It was pretty funny. But other than that, everybody was great, but I really wanted somebody to walk out at some point because I was hoping it would like be like parting the Red Sea.
Yeah, you hope there would be a big group discussion about it. There would be a riot. There'd be press there. Oh my God, what a transgressive film. The audience started to riot.
Yeah, but, you know, when people go to a film festival like PolyGram, they're trying to see really fucked up shit.
Oh, so. Yeah, that's true. Now, there's something on your IMDb that's very mysterious that seems like a clue in the evidence of what happened to David Carradine. You're going to Thailand to shoot a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, what? Tell me about the secret Thailand project that's very cryptically written on IMDb.
It's always about autoerotic asphyxiation. And, that's the whole movie. It's basically just I'm going to reenact David Carradine, and that's it. No.
You're going to try to come as you die.
Well, that'll be the end credits.
Yeah, yeah. That, what a great art piece.
Credits roll.
My final art piece is my own death.
No, it's a horror film that I wrote and I'm directing, and I wrote alongside Taryn Hillen. And, it's, we're shooting, I leave in 4 weeks. I'm going to be out there for like 3 months. It's definitely my favorite script that, I've done. And it's definitely the most marketable one too. On a high concept level, think like, you know, like The Ring meets Hostel, you know, and it's something really special, and I think it's really pertinent. And,
so why are you shooting it in Thailand?
Thailand takes a major, major role in the film. But I'm not really supposed to talk too much about it.
Is there mob money in it?
How
much heroin money is in the budget of Secret Thailand Project? What's the fucking title of it going to be?
It's called Pernicious.
Oh, okay.
The title is Pernicious. And
What does that word mean?
It means like malicious and evil in intent.
I'm kind of dumb, yeah. I went to school for writing, and I'm asking.
Yeah, anything that has ishus in it or idius in it usually means something evil.
It's such a fucked up suffix.
Yeah, it is. It's you're fucked when it's
possessed.
Exactly. But just know, like, if you just add it to the end of any word, too, people just...
Are you sure that in your movie Pernicious, it's not about a big black girl who has AIDS and cancer, and then the twist is she has diabetes?
No, that was Precious.
And she's... Oh, okay.
Gabrielle Sidibe.
So, speaking of Thailand, you know, you can get certain massages and, now, this is the second time. I want to do a field reporting next time. I really got to bring my Zoom recorder in so you can see the horror it is in trying to get an underground hand job. So the thing is also, you know, I fucked up my back because I worked at Deluxe for a long time. Now I'm working on this reality show. A lot of my day is sitting in a fucking office chair. So my back is fucked up. And I couldn't make up my mind. I was like, I want a real legit massage to fix my back. And a hand job. Is that so much to fucking ask for? Well, I got, we'll go to Backpage, and this is the fucking thing on Backpage. It says, we got 5 different girls working every day, free body scrub, new arrivals, beautiful and sexy Asian staffs. Our desire is to fulfill your every fantasy. You know, it's like every dream will come true. All right? This is what it says on fucking Backpage. So I'm like, I'll go here. There's a fucking address. There's an address. So I can set my GPS, go to this physical location, and everything will be fine. I go in there, and I'm going to expose this. I'm blowing this shit right up. The address is 7824 Balboa Boulevard, Van Nuys. The place is called Sunshine Spa. Just outside, it just says acupressure. It doesn't say Sunshine Spa anywhere in the signage, all right? You go there. You could Google map this. I want Yelpers out there exposing this as a bullshit handjob place. Because let me tell you something.
You didn't get a handjob?
I go in there, and the lady up front is, like, frumpy looking. I'm like, the ad says new arrivals every day. Why do they got a frumpy looking receptionist lady? Whatever. She's looking after the girls in there. Get a 1 hour massage. I give her $60 at the door. And then she goes, and then I get in there and she goes, oh, take off all your clothes and whatever. And I'm like, great. And then she goes, oh, do you want 2 girls? And I'm like, maybe. And she's like, oh, just another 60. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to say yes to everything because that's the way to make sure you're in, right? So I say yes. Then it's her. She's the second, the frumpy friend lady's the second girl. Then an all right looking, like, maybe 35-year-old girl comes out. And I'm like, ugh. And then, like, it's not like the, it's not like no one from these photographs in their fucking back page ad. All right, I'm blowing this shit up. I'm exposing this. I have the documents here. I've printed them out from Backpage.
And no hand job.
They start the one, the better looking one, who's 35. They go soft, medium, or hard. I go medium because I've been to Taiwanese places where they're like cracking your back with their elbow and it fucking kills. So I say medium. The hotter one is just like doing nothing. Like rubbing my skin.
Well, she's frumpy.
It's not massaging. And that, well, the, no, the frumpier one was getting more of the work, right? So then they tell me to flip over and they're just rubbing my belly. It's not, there's no massage where it's just rubbing your belly. That's not a massage.
So, but you got no handjob.
Then she's like sitting in front of my thing and I go, oh, is there like, and they're like, oh, do you have a girlfriend? Do you like Asians? You know, and they're both Asian. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I like all girls. And then I was like, oh, so do you have, like, a secret menu? Do you have, like, a like other things on your menu? You know what I mean? She goes, what do you mean? And I'm like, what do you think? What do I mean? You know what I mean? But you don't, you never want to, like, disrespect the art and artists of, even though they're a little frumpy looking, you can mechanically do something. You know what I mean? I'll take that gamble. After an hour massage with two girls, you get all worked up no matter what. Oh, I'm so pissed off. Then I did more research. You go to the Bellagio Spa. That's 7100 Van Nuys Boulevard, Suite 204. The girls shower with you routinely. Go to that address. That'll be my next spot. I'm pissed off right now.
Yeah, so normally what I just do is I like to sit on my hand until it goes numb. And then that way I can just, you know, Google myself and it feels like somebody else is doing it.
the stranger technique.
Yeah, but, you know, I Google myself, it feels like somebody else is doing it, and that's how I get my jollies.
You Google yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, to see who's, how you're trending.
Yeah, but, like, you know, I have to make my hand go numb first.
So it seems like someone else is doing it.
Yeah.
It seems like someone else is in the room with you going, oh, wow, look, you're trending real hot
exactly.
on Google.
Exactly. So, you know. But you thought I was talking
have you
about
ever
masturbation.
Got, have you ever got a hand job in a less than reputable Taiwanese place?
No.
Are you going
I
to Thailand? How much of the budget is going to you fucking 12-year-old girls in
I
Thailand?
I am getting a per diem. But apparently I shouldn't take pictures of them with my iPad. Or else the NSA will find it.
And start jacking off to it.
Yeah, no.
In a fucking cubicle. Oh, I'm a fucking police officer. I'm in a cubicle with air conditioning, you know, looking at your clouds and looking at... I'm a fucking cop. I'm helping people. No, you're not. You're a fucking pig shit and you should kill yourself. Hate crime. You know, you won the EOTM award.
I don't even know what that is.
You were nominated.
I was.
Look EOTM Medium Group?
Yeah, cool.
You don't know about this?
No.
August 4th, 2013 at Club Nokia in Los Angeles, California, the EOTM's plan is showcasing horror in a big way, offering nods in over 9 categories. Director James Cullen Bresic is running in 2 categories, Best Scream Indie Film, My Pure Joy, and Best Director for Hate Crime.
Wow. Well, thank you. I'm nominated.
See, if you were really sleeping on your hand and then Googling yourself, you would know shit like this.
Doctor told me not to use that technique anymore.
Doctor did? Why?
Well, because apparently it's not good for the amount of masturbation I also do.
I'm so mad about the hand job. You can't imagine how humiliating it is.
It looks like a sure thing from that ad. People listening, it really does look like a sure thing from that ad.
And you mentioned, what do I gotta bring in this ad, print it out, and go, give me one of these. Where are these girls? I wanna do a dateline of like, your hand job ring is bullshit. I went in here for an Oz, and also I've went to Yelp on different massage places trying to find the sleazy one, and some of them were mad that they did get hand jobs and or offered a hand job. They were all pissed off. I thought this was a legit hand. I thought this was a legit hand job. Like, no, I thought this was. I just wanted a massage, and they offered me a hand job. That's disgusting. Some people were like, I went in this place trying to get a hand job, and they didn't give me a hand job, and that's. I'm pissed off, so I'm one of those people. But anyway, I want to expose this on Dateline NBC. Do you think that they would, you know, the fact that I didn't get a hand job?
I just want to know what's so great about a hand job.
Or a blow job. Yeah. You can shower with the chicks at Bellagio Spa, apparently.
Yeah, I don't really want to shower with them, though.
But they'll give you a BJ in the shower. That's
okay,
what it's all about.
Well, there you go. Yeah, no, I've never in my life paid for sex. I just pay them to leave when I'm done.
Just hurry up, get out of here. Here's a cab fare.
Yeah.
So in the back seat right now is a contract for Theater of the Deranged 2, which I produced the wraparound segments for, the hosting segments for the different...
You also directed it.
...short films. Yeah. And I directed that as well and wrote it. And I performed it as Damien Shadows with the help of Ted Andres, my DP, and Colin McDowell, who are about to go meet, and you're going to see the cut for the first time.
Yeah.
Theater of the Deranged. Tell me about it. How is that different than Treasure Chest of Horrors?
Well, Theater of Deranged was taking people who had more, like, established things, whereas, like, Treasure Chest of Horrors was finding people who hadn't done anything really before. Theater of Deranged was more about people who had done stuff. So if you notice, like, the filmmakers on this all have had films in festivals, have feature films that have been released, every single one of them. Dustin Mills has done, like, you know, I think like 7 feature films now or something like that. Dustin's probably going to listen to this and laugh and be like, ha, I only did 6.
Short did he direct?
He did Plate Face.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Ryan has done like 20 films, and is famous for the amateur porn star killer movies. And he did, Tag, mm-hmm. the, segment that's entirely in Japanese.
Oh, so he's did he film that in Japan or did he get Japanese chicks?
No, he filmed it out here and just got Japanese chicks.
Oh, yeah?
He's American. He's like a short little white dude.
Ugh. I think Tag is my favorite. Can I say that? I think Tag's my favorite.
There's a lot of nudity.
Theater Deranged. No, but it's just so fucking scary, too.
It is creepy.
It's, Nagamata. Oh, my God. Oh, that makes me, like, dizzy.
Oh, yeah, no, it's crazy. I also love how every single segment in Theater of Deranged just has a different vibe.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They're all completely different.
The hosting segments, too, are, you know, they're comedy, so everything else is, like, more horror. But yeah. Actually, yours is Unmimely Demise is kind of straddles the line. It's a little funny. It's a little, you know, suspenseful. It's just an entertaining movie.
But it doesn't have a whole bunch of hot, naked Asians.
That's true.
Literally, like... Tag is like 90% naked Asian woman.
A Mindbly Demise does have some nice clown sex and some big titties in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Sophie D is naked in that one, but we are talking like Tag is literally. I think actually every segment of this anthology has nudity in it.
Yeah.
Even
it's pretty good.
Even the wraparounds, you're completely naked in those.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So if you want to see the dick of Damien Shadows, aka. Some Hollaback cock. Yeah, check out Hollaback. Theater of the Deranged too. Some huge segment of it.
Watch the pre-orders go Hollaback. Up now.
So you just watched Theater of the Deranged 2, the interstitial segments.
Yeah.
What's up?
You're a funny man.
Thank you. I'm just digging for compliments. So yeah. you met the editor, Colin McDowell, too?
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. He's going to do the trailer now.
Yeah.
He's going to do the opening credit sequence, the ending credits. He's going to put it all together.
Yeah, which is one of those times where I'm like, it's really great to be a producer because I just get to kick it and not do anything while other people do stuff.
That is nice. I do that, and then I have a day job. I'm very jealous of you that you get to go to Thailand to direct a movie.
Yeah.
To make your money.
I had to find somebody, I mean, some way to support my transsexual habit in Thailand, you know, all the ladyboys.
It's the only way. It's like, you want to have a transsexual habit, yeah, on a budget.
Go to Thailand.
Yeah, if you have, it'll be like 100,000 frequent flyer points.
I will say something about it, and it's that, like, I have never in my life experienced so many people saying the exact same joke, all thinking they're so funny, but it's like...
Are you calling me out right now
for
the Nine Original?
No, not that.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Not that, but when I was going... Every time I've mentioned that I'm going to Thailand to film a movie, about maybe 500 people now have said, "Oh, beware of all the ladyboys," and then they start laughing. Every single person.
It's just they're famous. That's what they're famous
for. Yeah,
but
it's... But my.
If you were going to Germany, I'd say, hey, you should have some beer and some sausage. It's fucking phenomenal there.
So you're saying the ladyboys are fucking phenomenal.
That's just what they're known for.
No, but it's... I've never experienced so many people saying the exact same joke.
Yeah. If you're going to fucking Rio...
equally as funny.
Play some beach volleyball.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've been getting really into... watching YouTube videos,
mm-hmm.
and I've been watching all these videos of, like, cats,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, I know everybody loves cats, but I watched all of them, and they're pretty funny. And then I found out, because I don't watch daytime TV, there's about 4 different TV shows that have, like, gone like 3 seasons, and it's just cats from YouTube on a television show.
Mm-hmm.
This is what television is now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think TV is just scrambling of, like, how do we sell relevant? Oh, with the internet. You know, the internet's big. Everyone loves the internet. Let's put the internet on TV. But the internet's still better. Just be on the internet. Why do you watch the show? You know what I mean?
I feel like YouTube is a giant version of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
And now television is like, let's just... take that, take all of this stuff from YouTube, and just have, like, 4, like, comedians and Lisa Lampanelli talk
mm-hmm.
about stuff.
Mm-hmm. That would be a show idea?
That is this show.
That is what show?
The World's Cutest Cats or something?
Lisa Lampanelli's on it?
Yeah.
She's on a cat video show?
Yeah.
Is it on NBC, though, or where is it?
No, it's on MTV.
Oh, okay.
MTV.
MTV's cat videos now?
Yeah.
I
feel like we should have cat cribs where the cats go, check out my ride.
That's the thing. Cribs. It's like, you don't want to pay actors anymore, so now cat videos are taking over, and cats can't sign AFTRA, and cats can't sign SAG.
Well, you also don't want to pay directors or writers anymore. I swear, like, eventually there's going to be, like, a director bot, like, 27, and a writer bot, 27, and, like, an actor, 121 or something, and... The funniest thing is that George Lucas's proudest achievement was there's, like, a scene in one of the newer Star Wars movies. And, like, when they were watching the movie, one of the actors was like, "Wait, I don't remember filming that scene." And George Lucas was like, "I put you in digitally."
Wow.
And so, like...
I don't need you.
Yeah, he's like, "I don't need actors anymore. I can put people in digitally.
Once I make a 3D image of your body, you are useless to me, actor." But he didn't even need to do the voiceover. He had robots doing the voiceover, too.
He took the tones of the voice from familiarity from the other lines they had done throughout the entire movie and created the line.
Yeah. Once you hear one dumb Ethan Hawke making a stupid accent, you can just reprogram it. It's very simple.
Yeah, and once you hear Nicolas Cage yell in one movie, you've seen every Nicolas Cage movie.
Every single freak out.
Yeah.
You can just put them all together.
You've seen them all cut together.
That's like that. That's a YouTube video. We're on YouTube too much.
Put it in the right file according to alphabetical order.
My favorite video ever is just a little baby's walking down a meadow and a cat springs out of nowhere, like, and command and just tackles the baby. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's 2 seconds long. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Well, I'm bringing up YouTube videos just because my new movie, To Jennifer, is shot similar to a YouTube, like, video blog. And so that's where, like, I got the idea from the movie, because I saw all these people doing, like, these, like, around the town, like, you know, just going on, like, a trip with a couple friends, and they cut together YouTube videos. Mm-hmm.
So, and To like, Jennifer, that sounds like a movie available on Amazon.
Yeah, it comes out October 15th.
Speaking of Amazon, Amazon's our sponsor. If you go to the podcast RSS feed on Podbean, also on EricHollerbach.com, you'll see Amazon banners. Click through there and buy what you want.
Buy absolutely everything, because they'll make some money.
And then it'll kick back.
Yeah.
And if, when Theater of the Deranged 2 comes out on DVD, you go through my Amazon link. I'll make money on the Amazon link and then also on the residuals from Theater of the Deranged 2.
And then we won't have to eat Top Ramen anymore.
Nope.
Even though Top Ramen is pretty good.
Yeah. do you think if you put your dick in Top Ramen, you would, you know, get a good Yelp review for hand jobs? Better than that fucking lazy place.
I think you'd have to give yourself a hand job after, because it'd be...
If you sat on your hand.
If you sat on your hand.
And then Googled yourself. And
Googled yourself, yeah.
You know who's getting a bad Yelp review?
But yeah, To Jennifer comes out October 15th.
Tell me a little bit about that movie. What's that about? You say it's about YouTube videos.
Yeah, and it stars your roommate.
Jody Barton. He's been on Highway Diary before.
Oh, he has?
Mm-hmm.
People actually listen to that guy talk?
Yeah.
Wow, God.
Yeah, twice.
Oh, no.
Two appearances.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, Jody's one of my very good friends, and he's been in all of my movies.
Mm-hmm.
Except one of them. So, but yeah, so essentially it's, this guy is making a video diary to give to his girlfriend that he thinks is cheating on him. And so it's like a diary of trying to catch her in the act. And it's shot found footage style entirely on the iPhone 5. And it's
the first movie to be made on the iPhone.
Yeah, and it's being released on DVD in October. And also in October, it'll be released as a standalone app for your phone. So you can watch the whole movie as an app with all the special features that the DVD will have.
Long car trip to Jennifer on your iPhone.
Yes.
While you're driving the car.
Yeah, and
be entertained when you wake up in the ditch.
And if you kill somebody after watching this movie by crashing into them, just know it'll only make more copies sell for me. So
I want
two
Jennifer reaction movies filmed in cars while driving.
And crashing.
And then you make the found footage film, and then you upload it to YouTube. You have the found footage film of that. It's all, like, that's how fans can get involved in To Jennifer.
I want to have that video you were talking about of that baby walking and the cat jumps out at it.
Yeah.
I want that baby to be watching To Jennifer, and then the cat jumps out at it anyway.
And then it's hit by a car of someone watching To Jennifer.
And then we're in the whole loop of people getting fucked up.
And then
up.
Lisa Lampanelli's going to host segments of babies getting hit by cars, cat videos.
While watching my movie,
while watching To Jennifer, and then the internet's going to explode.
Yeah.
It's all happening, people.
That was an idea for an ad campaign for hate crime, actually, just filming people's reactions to the movie.
Yeah. That's a good advertising strategy. When you see people going, oh shit! You know, especially black people, like, oh shit! Oh shit, there's a fucking ghost! Going crazy. Then, you know, people want
to
see it.
Well,
they're
then
like,
you have
what
to
is
call
that
Chuck
guy watching?
From Global Ghost, though.
What's with black people who go crazy at movies? They go crazy in a way that other cultures don't go crazy. You walk around with the last name Hollerback. You want to see black people go crazy? Hollerback, youngin'. Tell them what your last name is.
Well, I mean, at the same time, like, I went to, like, there's this dollar theater by me,
mm-hmm.
and I go to the dollar theater.
Do you get hand jobs at the dollar theater?
And I get hand jobs.
God damn it!
That's where it was going.
I spent $120. Then I tipped $40 at the end because I felt bad for asking about a secret menu. So I tipped $20 and ran out of there.
The key is to
blue-balled. Blue-balled.
The key is to be a director. Oh, I was telling you earlier about creepy fans.
Yeah.
So, and I showed you this.
Yeah.
But I want to read it out loud.
Yes.
So, and tell the backstory. So, this girl from Twitter, a Twitter follower. I have some pretty crazy Twitter fans. I'm not sure if any of you have seen it, but, like, some of them have tweeted, like, naked pictures of themselves to me with my name written on them. Crazy shit.
That's great.
One of them looks up
send
my
one of those
phone
bitches
numbers.
My way.
Oh, I'll show you that's on my phone.
Sure.
One of them looks up my phone number on IMDb Pro. I guess they got the free trial. And I get a text message. And let me read you this little excerpt of the text message. "Or sticking a drill down my throat, making me bleed, and letting me suck a dick while swallowing my own blood." And then my response was, "That would kill you."
Yeah, you're trying to let them know, like, hey, you know, I know you have this fantasy of, like, drilling a hole in your brain while sucking a dick, but...
But you're gonna die.
It's probably lethal.
Yeah, it'll most likely 100% murder you.
I got a new iMac.
See, look, Twitter follows.
Twitter follows, just sending you naked pictures?
Yeah, they're hot, too.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, the iPhone... Twitter followers. Wow, look at that girl.
Yeah.
I have Apple TV in my house. That's how we get Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah.
And because my iMac is physically close to it, you know, sometimes I'm trying to jerk off, go to sleep while my roommates are watching Netflix or whatever. I'm always so paranoid that they're going to log into my iMac and start watching the porn that I'm watching out in the living room and start laughing at me.
Why are you watching weird Australian midget porn?
Because I'm always smoking pot while I'm watching porn and I'm fucking paranoid that, you know, the police, the NSA are watching what I'm whacking off to, and my roommates outside, and they're gonna be like, "What is that shit about?" Just like the violence involved, the people who are violated, the lives destroyed by the porno you like to watch. What the fuck is wrong with you? When the internet first came out, I was just going through puberty, right? And we had a family computer in the basement that I would always look at porn on. And, you know, I'm like 12 years old and all of a sudden it's like, oh, do you want to type anything into Yahoo or Google or what, or Ask Jeeves, whatever the search engine is, and then see a picture of that? Yes, I do. So one night I spent like 6 hours on like a porno hole, like looking at everything I possibly could. Then the next day, my sister and her hot friend were, like, using the computer, too, and they saw the history of just the volumes and volumes. They're like, I understand that you're, like, going through puberty and you want to look at porn, but the level of porn you're looking at, that is what disturbs me. The gigabytes, the bandwidth. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I destroyed... the family computer.
No, but I was so... And then they confronted me and started laughing me, you know. This, like, older hot chick when I was, like, you know, she was 17, I was, like, 14, just laughing at me. Fucking humiliated.
Yeah, I destroyed the family computer downloading porn, got it a virus.
Yeah?
Yeah, when I was little.
What was your search engine then? What did you type in when you were looking for porn?
Well, I didn't want to just look for porn. I wanted to, because I collect things, I wanted to have a collection on the computer. I didn't think people would open it up when I labeled it Jimmy's Cool Stuff. So there's a folder on the desktop that is filled with porn called Jimmy's Cool Stuff.
Mine is always called New Folder.
Well, no, I don't.
That's
I
where
don't,
I put my
I don't
shit.
Download
New
it
Folder.
I don't download it anymore.
Oh,
because...
that's just an accidental folder. No, that's the, you know.
Yeah.
That's a cryptic message. Okay, so you put Jimmy's Fun Time.
Yeah. When I was like, I don't know, 15, and so I got it all through LimeWire. And got like about like 120 viruses on that computer that literally like crashed the computer. And my dad's a writer.
Yeah.
And so he had a deadline and I crashed his computer.
God damn it, why can't I send out this file? Where's my goddamn... Oh, so you're saying that the script was on that computer that you crashed and so then he lost it forever?
Yeah.
What? Oh, so he already like took an advance and a commission.
Well, he had to rewrite it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I remember my dad left a job and he was like looking for a new job. He was interviewing places and someone... called the house once and was like, I'm contacting Thomas Hollerbach. I'm trying to get him, see if he wants this position. And I said, okay. And then, like, I took, like, the worst message. Like, that could have been a job. That could have been what he did, and I ruined our future.
Well, I go back to computers, though. Like, I feel like every time you have a virus on your computer and you're taking it to, like, a computer repair shop, the guy who's taking it from you is, like... just knows how you got that virus. They're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I feel like literally they're just there specifically to deal with people downloading porn.
Yeah, of course. And that's what most of the internet is. Most of the internet's porn. Why is that? Because most of the people spending most of the time on the internet is for porn.
I've never understood how porn makes money, though, because I don't really know anyone who pays for it.
I think it doesn't make money anymore. It used to when people were on when a VHS would be like rented. When VHSs were like, you know, $120 per, then you would make money renting it and stuff. And then it was a big business. And then DVDs were like $25 for a new DVD. And people would pay for that. But now everything's online.
But like, I have tons of friends that are porn stars. They get paid to like do this still, so obviously they're making money.
I think that business is really small, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Some, I also think some rich guys might just do like have a website that had that where he pays like hookers, and then it's just like for posterity. I'm not sure if all of them make money.
He got his hand job. He got his hand.
Where did he fucking go?
I bet you he could have gone to that same place. Got the.
I just gotta like get an escort. It's more cost efficient. You know, if that's what I want, that's what I should just get instead of like, because instead of tricking myself, like, ooh, maybe this could happen, because I still have Catholic guilt, I might as well just fucking go. This is what's going on. Let's do this.
So, one time I was.
You ever get an escort?
No, but I was really stuck.
I've never either.
I was really, really stoned. We did, one time when we were in Vegas at the wrap party for one of my movies, we were all really ridiculously rip-roaringly drunk and too lazy to go to the strip club. So we hired escorts to be strippers in the room. Mm-hmm. And then we had a strip club, we played music and had a strip club in our own room. Not one of my proudest moments.
Did you get an HJ?
What? Actually, funny thing, she comes to me.
What do you mean, what?
No.
That's the weirdest
funny
question.
Funny thing, she
ever
comes
heard.
To me.
Yeah.
The woman, and she goes, like, do you want to have more fun than this, honey? And I was like, not really. And she was like, you know, because she tore up fucking Vegas prostitute. But she was like, are you sure? I'll give you a blowjob. And I was like, I'll tell you what, I will give you all the money I have in my pocket. And she goes, like, you know, everybody's been talking about how I just wrapped shooting a movie.
Right.
And so she's like, how much money you got, baby? And she starts, like, undressing, and I take out my wallet, and I was like, $3. And I really had $3 in my pocket. She stole my case of Red Bull and then left.
Back in the days when the mob ruled the fucking Vegas, okay, you would be gambling and some sweaty guy would come up to you and be like, would you like a free dinner? And you'd just be sweating, and then you'd be like, yes, I do want a free dinner. Thank you. Italian sweating ran Vegas. Then, you know, I want to really like a shit motel, but then if you're gambling or playing just like the nickel slot machine in the lobby, I'd be like, would you like a free hooker? You know, like, why don't do that? Do hotels ever give out free hookers, or casinos ever give out free hookers when you're gambling?
No.
See, I always have to be like,
give out free hookers if you're gambling.
Let me just, you know, this is another layer of bullshit I'm putting between me and an escort. Just do it one time. It's not a big deal. You know what I'm saying? I have to be like, oh, well, if I gamble, well, a sweaty guy maybe caught me a hooker. Why not just pay? It's so much more efficient. But I want it to happen like in an organic way. And I'm just like, wow, what's going on?
He's trying to fall in love with a hooker, it sounds like.
I'm going
to
pretty woman someone.
He wants it to be the right hooker.
I want it to happen the right way. I want it to be special.
He wants it to be special.
That's where I've gone now.
Only if it's the right one.
Only if it happens the right way. If the story unfolds the right way.
So I got punched in the face not too long ago during sex.
What? During sex?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Tell me about this.
So I was having sex with this girl, and I was really, really drunk. And she's on top and stuff, and my phone starts ringing. And I look at it, and it's like a friend of mine that I was supposed to like link up with later that night and stuff, and I had already gotten really drunk. And so I answer the phone during sex, and I say, what's up, man? And I can't hear him, so I put it on speakerphone. And I go, what's up, dude? I'm really drunk. I'm having sex right now. And he goes, oh, well, why are you answering the phone? Is she any good? And I was like, no, not really. Boom! Got punched in the face. Girl leaves. And I'm like,
she steals your Red Bull.
She steals my Red Bull. And no hand job.
Unbelievable. Bad Yelp review deserved.
Bad. I feel like there should be Yelp reviews on people.
Yeah.
I feel like I could just be like, the guy cut me off.
And on Facebook, you don't have, like, 4-star friends, like, 2-star friends, 1-star friend. Beware, like this person's a real creep if you bring up this subject.
I feel like they don't bring that stuff up on Facebook because you'd have a lot of people, like, just killing themselves.
Don't bring up donkey shows unless you want a heated debate.
Yeah. You have people just murdering themselves. It's just like, person in this license plate cuts people off and is an asshole.
Yeah.
And so they see that, somebody sees that and just shoots them. It's like, you don't cut me off.
If you become Twitter followers with this person, they'll send you a text, a personal text of that they want to drill their hole in their head while they're sucking your dick and, you know, blood coming out of their mouth.
Yeah. Or if you follow Anthony Weiner on Twitter, he'll send you a picture of his wiener.
Listen, if you're, okay, I want to talk to, because hopefully James will Twitter out this podcast. That's how some people might come across this. If you're a weird stalkery, you know, fan, maybe
he's looking for a hand job.
I'm looking for a weird stalkery fan
with a, that'll give you a hand job.
That'll give me a hand job. No, I want, that would be a good way for it to happen organically. So I don't have to pay for an escort and go through that shame. If like a stalker breaks into my window and then gives me a hand job and it's like, ooh, I didn't even know this was gonna happen.
I thought you were saying you wanted it, the hooker to happen organically. I didn't know you meant you wanted a relationship. All of us want a girl that's going to happen organically. I thought you were saying you
No, I want a stalker to happen and give me a hand job for free. I'm also, look, I'm also Jewish and not, I'm not Jewish,
not
but I know everyone thinks I'm Jewish because I want a stalker to give me a hand job for free. Why is that so much to ask for, you know?
Yeah, I feel like he just really wants a hand job.
I'm a little backed up lately, people. A little backed up.
Well, have you ever watched a porno where, like, you're watching it and, like, at first you're, like, horrified by what you're seeing and then suddenly you're just kind of like, I'm jerking off to this anyway?
Yeah, it's like the ritualistic desensitization of the youth. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, every time you see something more fucked up, it's like you graduated that ritual, like, of into experience instead of innocence.
I've had Twitter followers tell me they masturbated to hate crime. And I am proud to say that I have too.
Mom! Mom! Everybody shut up! You don't get to make the rules anymore!
It's gonna be okay!
Okay.
Is that where we end it?
I think that's pretty funny.
That's where we end it.
James Kolbrasek, thanks so much for being a guest on Highway Diary.
Thanks for having
pleasure.
Me.
It's really fun.
Yeah, lots of talk of hand jobs and masturbation.
Do you have any plugs you want to talk about?
13-13-13, movie I wrote and directed, comes out October 1st on DVD. And then Hate Crime and To Jennifer both come out October 15th on DVD. If you decide to buy them through his website, through Amazon.
Yeah.
He'll explain again how you do that, but, like, let him get, like, a dollar off of it or something.
Exactly. And Theater of the Deranged 2, we just had a meeting about that. That's moving forward. When can we expect that? December 2013? January 2014?
Probably, like, around February.
February 2014. All right. Cool. I got a show Friday, July 19th in the Yoohoo Room at Flappers, 9:30. Half price tickets through my website. Go to erichollerbach.com. Appearances. Buy your tickets through there.
And if any of you decide to show up and give him a hand job, that'll be an organic way for...
Yeah, I'm in the green room. All of a sudden, it's like, yo, come in here. What? What's going on? Pretty woman. Then I fall in love.
Yeah. Also, follow me on Twitter at James Cullen B if you're not already following me.
And if you're not already a stalker freak, think about it. If you're not, if you've never stalked anyone, you're not taking enough chances in life.
Oh, my God. One of them, I'll show you after we're done, but... Like
within, you've already showed me a couple titty pictures, and I appreciate it.
Within 100 messages in like 2 minutes,
yeah.
Just going, James, James? Why are you not responding, James? James, are you there, James? 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 James, somebody's calling me on the phone, James. James?
Via Twitter?
Is that you calling me, James?
These are Twitter direct messages?
Yes, and I'm like, oh, I don't have your number. And they're like, are you sure you don't, James? Somebody's calling me. Tell me if it's you. I'm not calling you. Go away. James? James? Why did you stop responding, James?
Oh, my God.
My phone blew up.
I want one of those, though. I'm kind of jealous. Yep. I want that. Okay, now we've just met. Maybe you're one of James's Twitter followers. You've just heard my voice now because you want to get closer to James. I appreciate that. Start cultivating an unhealthy relationship with me. There's a lot of stuff you have. There's this is the 35th podcast I posted. That's some material. Start going through that and just, you know, like cutting your face while listening to Highway Diary. Oh my God, look at all those messages.
James.
Did she send you a naked picture?
No.
It's weird. Anyway, I want one of those.
So if you learned anything from this podcast before we sign out.
I have stalker envy.
You should be stalking Eric. You should all be giving him hand jobs.
If you send me any titty pictures, those will go to charity. I'm like a titty picture, like middleman between Sandy relief victims and people with tits.
Or, and they might also pop up on his desktop when he's showing his friends.
Very embarrassing.
Yes. And then also, watch my movie on your cell phone while driving and try and hit children.
While taking it from home, shooting your reaction video.
While shooting your reaction
your
video.
Your fiery reaction video.
And maybe find out about Lisa Lampanelli's
And then as a car has exploded on the side of the freeway, I want you to record your reaction video to other people watching to Jennifer Walt and then rubberneck that and then have your accident.
That's called Inception.
The internet exploded.
Yeah.
Highway Diary is a series of dreams that you have just had.
I feel like everything is just a dream within a dream within a dream.
You play this backwards, all kinds of other messages too.
That's how you get one of those Whisper Girl ghosts.
Oh, what does that joke mean? I don't know what that joke means. You might have to see Theater of the Deranged 2 on DVD. This has been another episode of the Highway Motherfucking Diaries. James Cullen Bresak signing off.
Peace.
Thanks, guys.